Holy Spirit has descended from heaven to earth. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this first Sunday after Pentecost. And on this Sunday, the church has given us to honor all the saints. Originally, in the early times of the persecutions of the and the martyrdom of so many Christians, it was really not possible to know all the names of those saints, because sometimes they were martyred, you know, secretly or in other places that were remote. And so the church therefore set aside this day for us to honor their memory, because all these saints are known unto God, even if they're not known by everyone else. And in later centuries, this was expanded to include not only the martyrs, but all of the saints. And as it says in the Synaxarion, All Saints' Day has always been observed not only as an opportunity for the church to present to her living membership Christian ideals to be emulated, but also as an opportunity to establish unity between the triumphant church of Christ in heaven and his militant one on earth. And so at our baptism, we all become part of the mystical body of Christ on earth, in other words, the church. And this means that we also become part of the living family and community of all the saints. And for example, when two people enter into marriage, as we just had yesterday, they now start to share in one another's families. Then there are fathers and mothers-in-law, there's brothers and sisters-in-law. And of course, in marriage, we honor those extended members of our family, just as our own natural mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. And in baptism, our souls are united to Christ, you could say married to Christ, in a mystical union, as it were. And so naturally, we are now joined to Christ's family in the same way. And the saints, all the saints in heaven, are a part of Christ's family and all the angels. St. John of Kronstadt once wrote, "Acknowledge that all the saints are our elder brothers in the one house of the Heavenly Father, who have departed from earth to heaven, and they are always with us in God, and they constantly teach us and guide us to eternal life by means of the church services, the sacraments, the instructions and church decrees which they have composed, as for example those concerning the fasts and the feasts. They serve together with us. They sing, they speak, they instruct, they help us in various temptations and sorrows, and call upon them as living with you under a single roof. Glorify them, thank them, converse with them as with living people, and you will believe in the church." So today's gospel from Matthew gives us three ways that we are told that we must imitate these saints. And the first is that we are called to confess Christ. And as the Lord says in today's gospel, "Whoever shall confess me before men, I will confess before my Father. But whoever will deny me before men, I will deny him before my Father in heaven." And St. Ignatius Branch and Enov says that the Lord's disciples are not only those who call themselves Christians. His disciples are those who truly confess him as their Lord, following his teachings, fulfilling his commandments. And this confession must be made with mind, heart, word, deed, and their entire lives. And confession requires self-denial. Confession with words is not enough. It is necessary to confess with deeds and by life. When a person confesses God in a way that is pleasing to him, it is a sign that God has chosen that person. The fruit of a good will is inclusion amongst the ranks of the chosen. So like, for example, when we look at the martyrs, there's no way that they could have endured such great torments and horrible persecutions and deaths unless God had strengthened them. And we even read in some of the lives of saints how, if God took his grace away because the martyr would deny Christ, well then he would lose that strength to be able to go through with the martyrdom and wouldn't. But even those who had doubts and fears whether they could be strong enough to endure those things, God would strengthen them and then they would be able to endure them. And so in a sense, even to confess Christ, we need Christ's help. The second way is that we must love and honor Christ above all, even our own earthly family members. When the Lord tells us that a man's foes shall be they of his own household, and he that loves father, mother, son, or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, he's, you know, really talking about those times when some our biological family members stand in opposition to our Christian values. And that can happen externally if we have relatives who are not true Christian believers or who might try to stand in our way or oppose our Christian way of life. But it can also happen to us internally if we sometimes care more about our earthly family and friends than we do about Christ and his church. And then the third way that our Lord instructs us to follow is when he says, "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Our Holy Fathers have taught us that the cross represents all the struggles and challenges that we must endure. And St. Simeon, the New Theologian, once said that in times past, when heresies prevailed, many chose death through martyrdom and various tortures. And now, when we, through the grace of Christ, live in a time of profound and perfect peace, we learn for sure that the cross and death consist in nothing else than the complete mortification of self-will. He who pursues his own will, however slightly, will never be able to observe the precepts of Christ the Savior. So when we say the Our Father, we always say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, so in other words, that's the whole fundamental idea of our Christian life, is that we strive to do God's will rather than just do what we want to do, because you really can't do both, you know. So all of God's saints shared these three things in common. They confessed Christ, they loved him above all, and they took up their cross and followed him. And now the saints have received their reward and are in heaven, and they stand ready to help us at all times. So we only have to ask their help, and they will quickly hear our prayers and come to our aid. And having struggled with the same things that we struggle with, they understand exactly what we're up against, and they know just the right way to help us. But we should definitely invest the time to learn more about the lives of the saints so that we can learn better how to imitate their righteous lives. And as you read, you know, you'll find there's saints, some saints you will relate to exactly. You'll go, "Oh, I went through, that's exactly the same kind of struggle that I've gone through." Other saints, maybe not as much. But so if you just keep kind of looking through the different lives of the saints and becoming acquainted with them, you'll definitely find ones that you can really resonate with, that really sort of speak to you. Our Lord wants all to be saved and to be united in one triumphant family with all the saints in heaven when we depart this life. Glory be to our God.